Happy late birthday to the Brad Law. Hope you had a fantastic birthday weekend in Gainesville for half of it, and then back here at home on Sunday. Hope you got a nice day off. Happy birthday, my friend.
The day Saturday, the actual birthday was pretty dang incredible because I got to watch a comeback win by Auburn baseball in what could be a tipping point in this season.
Heck of a call by you, by the way.
Well, heck of a game. I mean, heck of a comeback, heck of a effort. That to win in that ballpark is not easy to do, and they did it. So that was awesome. And then we got to listen to A-Day on the way back, which was pretty awesome.
Sure.
So, and that was the only way to experience A-Day since we couldn't be in the stadium. We listened to it. And, and it was, I thought there were some really exciting things. I'm more prone to be excited about stuff than I am to be worried about stuff when it happens 5 months or 4.5 months before the season starts. But I don't know. It seems like a mixed bag of reaction, Zach. What have you thought about the reaction to A-Day? Have people been pretty level? Has it been a mix of good and bad?
Well, I mean, most people are probably like, it's A-Day, right? I think most people are probably from that. It's like, okay, cool. It's fun to be out there. They got some work to do. Also, they've put in some good work. You could tell, like, okay, we're getting there, but we're not there yet, which is what Alex Golish would tell you. And then there's the crowd like, oh my goodness, Byron Brown threw 2 interceptions. Everything is over. Everything is done. And look, if you didn't go and you really care about the stats of A-Day, like, I guess that should be the opinion you have if that's what you deem to be important.
Yeah,
I don't deem that to be important. You know, in fact, I think it's actually better that the defense forced turnovers than it is worse that the offense had turnovers.
Yeah.
The last show that I posted before A-Day was I would like to see some turnovers because over the course of this defense being really good over the last few years, they haven't forced turnovers. And sounds like Golish just talked about almost giving the players permission to be more aggressive. And I think we saw a little bit of that on Saturday. I mean, I guess Auburn's top 3 quarterbacks, they all threw picks. Byron threw 2. Tia threw 1. Hewlett threw 1. And like that's just part of the growth process of installing an offense. So, Jared Smith, the one that Byron threw to Jared Smith, incredibly fluky, but an incredible play by Jared Smith. Like that's why you get athletes like Jared Smith on your roster is for when those fluke things happen. It's like, only a handful of athletes on the planet can do that. That's why we're paying you to be here. That's why we've recruited you to be here. And then, the other one, sorry, Brad, the other one to Chaz Nimrod, like that one seemed to be on Byron, but also we don't know, like, did Chaz stop in the right spot? Byron seems so intent on throwing the stop pattern to a specific spot, and that wasn't where Chaz was. Chaz took another step or two, and so he threw it right to Bryce Diaz. So, some of that is just we don't really know who's fully at fault there.
Give me one player who exceeded your expectation for him going in. It could have been a low expectation and he was a little better than fine, or it could have been a really, it could have been a higher expectation and he was great. One
going into A-Day or going into spring as a whole?
I'll go spring as a whole.
Spring as a whole, Gavin Jenkins at corner, very sticky in coverage. I was really impressed with him. Going into A-Day, I'll say Jacoby Matthews. Jacoby Matthews consistently with the ones at defensive back there, former 5-star, right? Late addition last cycle from Texas A&M.
We were fired up last year.
Didn't really have that much of a role last year. A little surprised he stayed, if I'm being honest, but they made him a priority and wanted to keep him. And now you're starting to see why.
Yeah.
And then, it's interesting. Like, when you look at Jacoby Matthews and Gavin Jenkins, both with the starting defense, but, Champ Anthony's out.
Right.
Sylvester Smith is out. Caleb Paris is out. Rayshon Pleasant's out. So, if you feel good about those guys, and arguably the only reason they're with the ones is because of some of these other guys being out, we already knew the depth of this defensive back room was pretty insane, and it somehow got deeper over the course of spring.
Nope, you're exactly right, and I was going to go there too. It's great that those guys, and I think that's part of the culture of the defense and the competitiveness and the next man up mentality on that side of the ball that you're wanting to see on the offensive side, and that's what they're working to instill on the offensive side as well. But that competitive culture, the, all right, he's out, cool, my turn, my turn. I don't decide where I fall in the pecking order maybe, but I can decide what I do right now. I can decide what I do today and with this next rep and this next rep. And that was good to see, Gavin Jenkins and Jacoby Matthews. That's a good couple of guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, Omar Mapson was really good at running back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pecking order that they showed us on Saturday, clearly RB2. Nekai Davenport consistently falling forward. Not the largest running back. Not that he's small, but definitely showed power and pretty solid pad level. I mean, the ability to fall forward, that, I mean, if you do that and get past the line of scrimmage a few times, like, you got a chance to get a first down. So, love that. Byron Washington did not look it. Golish kind of called him out a little bit after the fact. You know, how in shape are you? You know, battling some injuries, it sounds like, you know. So hopefully he uses the summer to get that right going into fall camp.
Yeah.
Parker Pritchett had some moments with the twos at left tackle.
Yeah.
There was a, I don't know if it was a nickel blitz or a corner blitz, but defender, you know, defensive back kind of coming from far outside. And Parker Pritchett's a big guy. Like, part of his development is like to trim down a little bit so he can move a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But he moved fine with his, you know, massive frame there. You know, that kick step and kind of engaging in a smaller, quicker defensive back, I thought was pretty good. I thought Duke Smith overachieved a little bit. He made some incredible plays, especially early. His touchdown, the first touchdown of the day for the receivers. He, caught a ball at about the 20, made a few guys miss, ran over Fred Gaskin, got into the end zone. That was nice. So. Yeah. I think there were several guys that really, really impressed me.
Was there anyone who didn't exceed expectations? Who maybe, I mean, we don't like to just, this is not a show where we trash guys, but I mean, you mentioned Bryson Washington and Golish called him out a little bit. And yeah, I was a little surprised. For sure. Yeah. Is there anybody else who you thought, got a little work to do as they go into summer?
This one's a little tough because he caught a touchdown and it was called back, but Chaz Nimrod, I thought the deep pass from Byram early where he just totally cooked New Boy, had him beat by 5 yards, it seemed like. Should have been a touchdown early. That seemed catchable. You know, that was going away from us in the press box, so like the view wasn't perfect, but certainly seemed catchable there. And then I think he had another one he should have caught. And then, you know, so Maybe Chaz, and then we don't know like all the details of the route that resulted in the pick to Diaz, but I kind of expected more out of Chaz Nimrod.
Okay. What about Bryce Diaz in the game that he had? Again, some of this I'm relying on you so much because I haven't seen, I couldn't see the game myself. Was he, I mean, was it Melendez and Atkins, or was Diaz pretty active in the linebacker group as well?
Diaz was my vote for defensive MVP. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
He was stuffing the hole in the running game. He was effective as a pass rusher. I mean, he's too good to keep off the field. They were doing some three linebacker sets, which you're able to do with him because you're essentially still a nickel because he's athletic enough to do whatever you're going to ask a nickel defender to do. So, yeah. I think you're going to see some three linebacker sets this year, which is a little bit interesting in this scheme. But it's because he's able to do everything that a nickel can do from the linebacker spot. So, yeah, Diaz was one of the big winners for sure. I'm glad you brought him up.
All right. So the official offensive MVP was Deshaun Spencer. Did anybody have him as the 8A MVP, as the offensive MVP in the barn grid?
I don't think so. He's who I voted for what it's worth. And, I mean, there were like two or three plays in a row, especially like early third quarter where they just kept going to him over and over and over again. Kind of felt similar to like what we did with Ryan Davis in 2017, where like once that was cooking, just go over and over and over again. All quick stuff, all behind the line of scrimmage, which
sure works.
I love that. That's what I was calling for us to do over the last few years with Hugh Freeze. Like, just get it to Malcolm. Just get it to Cam. Just get it to, you know, somebody behind the line of scrimmage. This offense is all about that. Spread out the field, create one-on-one matchups, and make the guys get tackled in space over and over and over again. Because look, they're going to get the tackles 80% of the time, but you're doing it for the 20.
Yeah.
You're doing it for the 20% of the time where you can find a gash and, you know, either get a first down or get a touchdown. So Deshaun Spencer's a guy who you don't want to have to tackle in space consistently, even as a freshman. So absolutely loved his game for sure. I mean,
you know what?
I think a lot of the receivers kind of had certain moments. You know, Keyshawn Singleton, it certainly, you can certainly tell the chemistry with him and Byram. I'm glad other people got to see that. And then, you know, Pettigrew had the best catch of the day, in my opinion. I've mentioned that a few places. But yeah, Deshaun Spencer getting offensive MVP, a little surprised by it, but definitely earned 100%. Yeah.
I love the way the game was set up. This was not an A-Day game that was designed to showcase the offense. Does that make sense? It wasn't designed to make the offense look as good as possible, to put on a show for the fans. The fans got to see a competitive scrimmage that was designed to look as much like a game as possible, with the defense causing problems and blitzing. Like, they blitzed on the first drive of the game. They weren't trying to put certain players or positions in advantage situations. Like, in fact, and you got, I heard you guys talk about this on your Locked On recap shows, there were times where they took away plays that were going to be touchdowns. Byron Brown was going to have an easy walk-in rushing touchdown. And they're like, no, blow the play dead, make him go from the two. And now let's see what happens. I love that. It's a practice. It's one of 15 spring practices. And Alex Golish has made it known from the start, they've got to get better for when the real games start. So if they go out there and it's fluff, and it's the first team offense against the third team defense, and let's have a high-flying, you know, acrobatic circus show, does that help you get better? Does that help you prepare for Baylor and Florida and Vanderbilt in the month of September? No. Right. I love, but the flow of the game exceeded my expectation, if that makes sense.
Listening on the radio call, Brad, could you get a sense of how absurd the pace was?
No, but okay. Yes and no. I didn't think absurd. I
mean, Andy wasn't just constantly like detailing a play. Like, well, I mean, it was so fast.
Okay.
It was unbelievably fast.
I did notice, and we commented in the car about how fast they were going. But
now that Andy was exhausted at the end of that.
But we had a three-man booth too. We had Jason and Ronnie, and they were, so like my ear was on, how are they alternating between plays? Who's talking? How much are they talking? And so I didn't think as much about the pace. That's just my nerd broadcast brain.
Yeah.
Listening from afar.
I get it.
So it was fast. So it was a breakneck pace.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, early Gus years tempo, which is awesome,
man.
And, you know, you may have heard Daryl talk about this on the show that you just alluded to, but there was, it was like a second and eight, and they got like a 7 yard run or something. Yeah. And instead of waiting to see if they got the first down, because it was pretty close, the offensive line was set. Like, there's no, and I also just love the mentality of it. I know you do too. Like, we don't need the refs to help us.
Oh, God.
We'll just go get it. Spot the ball. Yeah. We might be 3 inches short. We'll just get it ourselves.
Yeah.
And boy, did we have that, the opposite of that last year. Like, well, refs, please help us. Please help us. Please.
And
can
look,
you bail us out, please?
I don't know.
No, up the ref screwed us.
Yeah. And then the whole rest of the day or week or month or season is tanked because of it. You can't let that be. That's the epitome of what the fan base has been asking for, though, isn't it? Because the fans was like, yes, the refs were bad. The refs screwed up. They legitimately, and they did. The refs legitimately missed calls. It happens.
Yeah, people got suspended for stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, like last year it was worse than it had been previously.
But that wasn't our issue.
But
didn't
so
help,
many,
but it wasn't the issue.
But like so many fans' reaction to that was, but you have to move on. You can't let that, you have to take it out of their hands altogether. And we saw that like literally, you saw that happen. You were like, I'm not even going to keep it in their hands. Not even going to give them the chance to spot it and mark it and measure it.
Yeah, no, we'll just go get
a yard.
We got it. We got it.
Go get a yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. All right, yeah. I'm going to play a what-if game. Can we play a what-if game after?
Fort Stokes?
Everybody, Precision Fort Stokes.
Fort Stokes.
Okay.
Fort Stokes.
Yeah.
The man, the myth, the legend behind the incredible tailgate on Saturday would not have been possible without Fort Stokes. So many people asked about you.
No, I hate that I missed it. I really do. I'm. You sent a picture of a pound cake. Ford didn't make the pound cake, but...
Nope, Dr. Church's significant other made the pound cake, which was great. Tremendous. Delicious. No, but Fort Stokes made everything happen. You can go check out his calendar directly, calendly.com/Fort Stokes.
Crazy.
Look, guys, if you have anything to talk about, whether it's, you know, questions about retirement, am I doing enough? There are so many products that, you know, only 1% of agents have access to, and Fort Stokes is in that 1% because he's the top 1% of what he does. I trust him with my money, my retirement. You should too, whether it's, you know, insurance related stuff or obviously retirement. So you can once again go directly to his calendar, calendly.com/Fort Stokes, or of course you can go to activewealth.com.
It's crazy that he gives you access to his calendar. You just book your own time right there.
It's so him though. Like that's so like how he operates and how he serves his people.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
I don't know anybody else who does that. That is wild. So
yeah, he's great.
Worth a conversation. Take care of it. So thank you, Ford, and Active Wealth Management. Okay. What if?
Yes.
All right. Your expectation of Auburn's record going into the season is what? We don't have to spend a lot of detail on this. Just kind of throw stuff out.
Seven.
All right. So 7-5. What if Byrum Brown is like a 2-interception a game quarterback?
That'd be bad.
Okay. How does that change your expectation of the record?
Probably take a game away.
Okay. So 6-6-ish. All right. What if Jared Smith is that dude? What if, because the interception we're talking about before reminds me of Carlos Dansby. His playmaking ability reminds me of Carlos. Different position. They play different positions. But just the ability to make something happen around the ball.
Right.
Reminds me of Carlos Dansby. He had a play his sophomore year against Vanderbilt where Jay Cutler was the quarterback for Vanderbilt. And there's a hurricane moving through. And Cutler, so is there in the rain, and Carlos comes on a blitz, and Cutler tries to throw it, and Dansby just catches it. He's a foot away from him, and he fires it, and he just, like, he knocks it down and catches it, and it's an interception.
Yeah.
Jared Smith reminds me of that a little bit with his playmaking ability, with his length and his ability to create havoc. So what if he's that guy at the edge position for Auburn? How does that impact your expectations?
It could impact it a lot. You know, pass rush in most situations, you need more than one guy. I think pass rushing and sacks are a team stat more than a lot of people would like to admit. But I do think that'd be huge. I mean, I said that going into spring. I said it going to every scrimmage of spring. I said it going into A-Day. The best case scenario for Auburn is for Jared Smith to take over. And we saw glimpses of that. Like, that was... I stand by it. I think that's the best case for Auburn that Jared Smith did that. So when he got that interception, I know a lot of people were panicking about a Byrum Brown throwing a screen on the 2-yard line, which when he's on the 2-yard line in the season, he's going to run it and he's going to score. It's okay. So when there's no space like that, and you know, and also like Daryl talked about the throwing motion, like the sidearm, he's throwing to his left. The ball has to go through a defender if there's any sort of penetration whatsoever. Like, yeah. I don't know what Brian was supposed to do in that scenario. Like, you know, all of this as a play caller and didn't anyway.
Yeah.
Jared also said afterwards, like, they knew what the play was. So, like, Yeah. I don't understand why this is such a big deal, but yeah. It shows the ability of Jared Smith. So 100%, you're all about it. You're all about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the kind of play call you would make if you're trying on purpose to put your team in adverse situations to make them better.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it absolutely is. And look, I think Golish, if I had to guess.
Yes.
I kind of wonder if part of him's a little happy that Byram wasn't like unbelievable. Because the way Byram talked afterwards, I didn't stay for the player interviews, but I've watched a few of them and I've read the notes. But I mean, talking about like, yeah, we got things to work on and I can't wait for fall. Like, good. Good. Let him be a little salty.
Yeah.
I mean, for the first time in a hot minute, he's seeing people like say that he's not this awesome quarterback that's extremely productive. He's like, oh, he was 7 of 14 for 80 yards and 2 picks. Oh, he stinks.
Yeah.
He sees all that. And people haven't talked about him that way before.
Right.
And if he's the kind of guy that we think he is, the kind of guy that Golish knows that he is.
Yep.
I think that this is a good thing.
Yeah.
He said, and I can't wait for the fall.
Yeah. Who else, like, who knows better than Alex Golish and maybe Joel Gordon the temperament of his starting quarterback and what motivates him and what he needs going into the summer of work?
So, yeah, Byram, you want to support there, but we're not going to give that to you. Do it
right.
Again.
Yeah, you know what? Run it from the two. Call a screen pass. Don't you think that when he got the play call, he's like, screen pass? What? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm going to my left. That doesn't even make sense either. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Again, it sounds like a play call designed especially to put a guy in adverse situations. Love that. Love that. Yeah, all right.
I do. I don't have an issue with it at all.
My last what if is, what if Alex McPherson is consistent this year from like 46 to 51 yards?
He looked like his old self. He looked like his old self, which, I mean, let's talk about the human element of this first. Like, what a battle he's had to fight. And, like, I mean, props to Auburn and the fan base for, like, really being behind him and understanding everything he's gone through. And, yeah, just watching him. I watched him more in warmups, I think, than anything in the game. And it's like, yeah, the strength of his leg seems to be back. He's still really small, but he was never the biggest guy, but he got super, super small, right? But the power there, what a great story. If he can return back to that, it's one of the best stories in college football.
Does it change your win projection if he's consistent from, again, I'm just arbitrarily kind of picking 46 to 51 yards?
It could.
Yeah.
It could. I'm kind of assuming he's back whenever I think about what this team is. So I don't know if it changes that or not. I think I've already kind of got that baked in.
Gotcha. All right, my last what if, they got a commitment from a four-star tight end right when the game ended, basically, in the locker room. And then Golish mentioned that the staff is going to hit the road recruiting, mentioned they're going to hit that really hard. What if there are no commitments in the next 3 months? Does it change your outlook on the season?
In 3 months?
The next, By July 20th, let's say they have two or less.
If there were no in the next 3 months, that would not be good.
Let me go two or less. Two or less in the next 3 months.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with official visits, Brad. So, like, those start summer in May, summer in late May, and then a lot of them are in June. So, like, if you go through official visit season, which is through the end of June, and you still just have two guys, that would not be good.
Yeah.
That would be that'd be really bad.
That'd be really bad.
Officials is when you're, you know, that's when you really sit down and you kind of do all the contractual stuff and all that. So, I mean, I talked to some recruiting folks before the game, and you know that's the focus. That seems to be the focus. Yeah. So,
because that's the focus, I don't expect them to not get like a bunch of commitments. But
now, there's a few guys that, like, okay, they seem to be all in on. Like, if Carlos May goes somewhere else, I'm like, like, this is a guy that they really, and this staff is going to be more selective and more picky, right? Mm-hmm. So I do think some of these guys that they're kind of in it for, it's like, no, these guys know if the staff wants them. I think they're going to be a little bit more picky with this, like a Carlos May, like they want Carlos May, or like they want Will Mentzel, which a lot of people want Will Mentzel, and a lot of people want Carlos May. But, so we'll see how they handle all of that.
Does Tristan Tia's performance at A-Day do impact quarterback recruiting at all?
It could.
Okay.
It could, but once again, like the quarterback. When you say quarterback recruiting, and you're talking about Auburn, that means Will Mentzel.
Yeah, that's
true. And the other place that he's going is Oregon, and they've got a bunch of five stars in front of them too. So
that's true.
So probably not.
Yeah,
probably
fair.
Not.
That's fair. All right. What if on the other end of that recruiting spiel, what if they kill it? What if they get commitments from half a dozen guys, including the quarterback they want, and all these other guys? Like, what if for the next 2 to 3 months, Auburn football is the team that everybody's talking about in the recruiting circuit?
That'd be awesome. Man, you're starting to see some Alex Golish buzz from the national level. Mm-hmm. Read an article. I don't know when it was written, but I read it this morning. I assume it's recent, from Brandon Marcello of CBS Sports.
Yeah.
And kind of did a prediction about every team. And when he got to Auburn, it was, you know, Auburn's going to win 8 games. Auburn's going 8-4. And it's like, yeah, okay, we're starting to see some national chatter and belief about what Golish could do. So I do think this staff, like the way they handle the rev share and the NIL management, I still think that's something that they're learning. And there's going to be some guys that, you know, blank check guys.
Yeah,
and I think there's going to be some guys where it's like, we want you and we really value our relationship, but if money is the most important thing, like, it's probably not a fit.
Yeah.
It's nothing personal. This is probably like, you probably won't like it here.
Yeah.
So, but there's a balance because Auburn can compete nationally when it comes to NIL. And so they're just going to have to pick their battles. And I don't know if they've, I don't know if like how you get better at that other than just doing it, you know?
What do you think about the phrase, our floor is our talent, or our talent is our floor? That was a comment from Golish in his postgame press conference. Our talent is going to be our floor, and then, you know, the way we come together and the way we buy in and our, like, commitment to doing all those things, that's the ceiling. Because it kind of felt like the last couple of years, the ceiling was the talent. And then a lot of little details and little things here or there were left behind, and Auburn lost a lot of close games. So just that quote from the postgame press conference, that our talent's going to be our floor.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that too, because if talent is the floor, like, what was last year?
Right.
Like that felt like pretty close to a floor-like situation. So I don't really know what to think about that, Brad, because I have been thinking about it. I don't really know. I don't want to disagree with him, but
yeah, I get the point that he's trying to make, though, is, you know, talent alone only gets you so far, especially in this conference.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that's what you and I said the last couple of years, like, yeah, you're talented, but so is fill in the blank with the team that you're going to play Saturday. Auburn's talented. So is Oklahoma. So is Texas A&M. So is Georgia. So is Alabama. All these teams are talented. LSU is talented. Ole Miss is talented. Even the bottom tier teams in the league have some talent. It's your commitment to doing the little things right that separate you in one score games, which feels like every game in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, right. Right. And with this defense, I mean, you feel like you got a shot. And then with obviously the upside of what this offense can do, there's a lot to be excited about. So
that's it. All right. Really good A-Day. Really good A-Day in general. Saw a lot of really positive comments about it. And thank you again to everybody who came out to the tailgate. We'll do another one sometime. We'll do another. Like, the turnout was such, Zach, I think we need another gathering at some point.
It was incredibly humbling. It was unbelievable.
We'll try to get together and make that happen. So if you're in the Birmingham area, by the way, come to baseball tomorrow night. Baseball's at the Hoover Met against Samford. Would love to see a bunch of people out for that game. Yep.
Also, if you've got a business or you sell a product or, you know, do any sort of commerce, head over to buyauburn.com. Or if you just want to, you know, if you're looking for something specific and you want to spend money with Auburn people supporting Auburn people, head over to buyauburn.com. And look, if you want to sell something through us, fill out the form over at buyauburn.com. We'd love to have you be part of that Buy Auburn family.
Buy fans for fans, buy from fans, like just support Auburn businesses. That's kind of the idea of this or behind it. So,
yep. So if you're an Auburn business and want us to be supported, reach out to us buyauburn.com. Brad Law, I think that about does it for today's show.
Thanks everybody for watching or listening. Please subscribe if you haven't yet. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.